shtikl. It's not miyakir b'di'evad. But l'chadkila is a din. We have l'chadkila b'di'evad a lot of times. L'chadkila tzitzit should have tchelus and lovan and b'di'evad. We paskin, most of the Rishonim paskin like the Chacham, like that opinion, that tchelus ain't miyakir is a lovan. L'chadkila, when you do a korban chatas, you do zrikas on dalet karnas on mizbech and b'di'evad. If you only did one zrikit, it's kosher. L'chadkila, when you do chalitza, you have to do chalitza sandal, and you have to do rikika, and you have to do kriya sapsukim, and b'di'evad, we paskin that the kriya sapsukim is not miyakir, and the rikika is not miyakir. Only the chalitza sandal is miyakir. So Tosis in the end of Nida points out that this concept of l'chadkila b'di'evad usually is an indication that the whole din is only with the rabbanon. Let's say you have a treifah pot that hasn't been used for treifahs in the last 24 hours. That's what we call a cliche in a bin yoimai. So l'chadkili, you're not allowed to cook in a treifah pot, but the b'di'evad, if you did, it doesn't make treif. So Tosfos says, because the whole din is only with the rabbanon to begin with. But l'chadkila and b'di'evad on the level of the raisa is rare. So Tosfos says, yeah, but it applies when you have a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah b'shleimus and a mitzvah shalo b'shleimus. But if you have something that's not a mitzvah, just a matir, let's say to cook kosher food in a treifah pot, it's not a, what is it, it's a mitzvah not to cook in a treifah pot. It's a dinner, it'll make your food treif. So v'teine ben yomo is mutam in atur. The whole thing is only l'chadchila, it's gzeira d'rabbon, gzeira ene ben yomo, ata ben yomo. So whenever it's a mitzvah, it's possible to talk about l'chadchila b'di'evan on the level of their eyes. Whenever it's only an inyan of a matir, it doesn't make sense to say l'chadchila, it's awesome b'di'evad, it's mutar. Let's say a get. L'chadchila, the get should not have been written like that, but b'di'evad, we make a get is good. So that's a dead giveaway, that's only with the Rabbanan. So what's the story here about Shkita? Here the Perek begins, Chav Zayinim and Aleph, Ashoichet, and the Gemara understands Ashoichet b'di'evad and l'chadchila, it's only b'di'evad. So what's b'di'evad over here? What do you want him to do l'chadchila? So the Gemara has two suggestions. Either l'chadchili should check shnei simanim both the kana and the veshet, or l'chadchili shouldn't rely on rubik kekuloi. So these l'chadchilas that the Gemara suggested on the Mishnah, the Gemara meant a possibility of a l'chadchila deraisa or a l'chadchila derabbanan. So this is sefer we mentioned, sefer Lei Bariyeh. Lei Bariyeh is that used to be a classic on chulin. Until Rab Chaim came along, Rab Chaim has introduced a whole new style of learning, so nobody looks at the Levi. The Levi over here just points out some Achleikis, Rashi and Tosfos at the end of the first parak. We skipped that Gemara, we didn't learn, but some Achleikis Beferish, whether this Lechatchila that we're talking about is a Lechatchila possibility of a Lechatchila Derais or Lechatchila Rabban. How can it be a Lechatchila Derais? What, there's a mitzvah over here? What mitzvah are you talking about? That Lechatchila should have done the mitzvah Bishlei Musam, but he ever. It's in the mitzvah shalom b'shleim musa. What mitzvah are you talking about? So the Rambam wrote a sefer on mitzvahs. The Rambam lists off which, in his opinion, are the tayyad mitzvahs. The Rambam is not the first one. The Rambam quotes a lot from the sefer Halachas Gedolos, which was composed in the days of the Gaonim. The Rishonim are not so sure who wrote the Halachas Gedolos, but the Yol Agiri was written during the days of the Gaonim. And the Rambam relies a lot on the Bahagan. He disagrees a lot with the Bahagan. The Rambam is not the last one to write. And he wrote after the Rambam. So the Rambam writes that to shecht the behema is a mitzvah. To shecht the chayav of behema when you're interested in eating is a mitzvah. And the Ravid has hasokas on the sefer mitzvah, just like he has hasokas on all Mishnah Torah. This is one of the hasokas of Ravid. Lishchot is a mitzvah. And the shochet stands there in the slaughterhouse and he shechts 100 chickens a minute. He has 100 mitzvahs. Rabbi Soloveitchik couldn't believe it. What do you mean? The shechet, I'm sitting and learning and I'm not shechting. The shechet is shechting 100 animals. It's fulfilled 100 mitzvahs. He said he couldn't believe it. That's what the Ravid is masik. The Ravid says, maybe you can say it's a lava bom, a chalal asay. Maybe it's an iser asay, but not that it's a kiyum asay. It's a kiyum asay. Let's say the Rambam has called tzipa Torah tochelu. So the Rambam counts it as a mitzvah asay. It's a mitzvah to have chicken once a day, every day. What if a person wants to be a vegetarian? Rav Kook was a vegetarian. The Vilna Gaon was a vegetarian. then the garden wouldn't eat anything menachai. It wouldn't have milk and butter and cheese and eggs, anything menachai. People who study Kabbalah, it says in Shulchan Aruch, are supposed to be vegetarians, except for yomim she'enam ebehem taknu. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, when you don't say taknu, and then they can eat. Then they can have some cheese. Then they can have some milk or some flesh, eggs or whatever, fish. But on yomim she'enam ebehem taknu, so those who study Kabbalah are supposed to be strict vegetarians. So you mean the Vilna Gaon didn't fulfill the mitzvah? Called Tzipa Torah Techela, mitzvah to have chicken once a day, every day. So Pashto says, called Tzipa Torah Techela means it's a lab abo mechalal aseh. It's not a kiyum aseh. What we call an isur aseh. What the Gemara calls a lab abo mechalal aseh, in modern language, we call that an isur aseh. Sometimes you have a pasuk in the Chumash, let's say you have to lay tefillin. That's a mitzvah aseh. You have to say kriyashma. It's a mitzvah, a kiyum aseh, a mitzvah aseh. Sometimes you have an essay, it's not a kiyum aseh, it's a lab abo mechalal aseh. Like it says, "Lanochi sashich or liachicha lo sashich." So the Ramba, so the Sifra says on that pasuk, "Lanochi sashich zol mitzvah sase." So the Ramba understood, whenever you lend to a nochri, there's a mitzvah sase to charge ribbis. And if you don't charge ribbis, you fail to fulfill a mitzvah. Like you didn't like tefillah one day, you didn't fulfill a mitzvah. And the other Rishonim say, the Ravid also says, "Masik on the Ramdeh." It's not a mitzvah sase. It's an Isser Aseh, L'Nachri Sashich, if you lend to a Yisrael, and you do charge interest, then it's a Lav HaBom Mechlal Aseh, but it's not a Mitzvah Aseh, it's not a Kiyum Aseh. Once in a while you have a Pasek that's both a Kiyum Aseh and an Isser Aseh. For example, Ach B'Yom HaRishon Tashbisu, so it's a Mitzvah to destroy the Chametz. B'Yom HaRishon means Erev Pesach, doesn't mean the first day Pesach, a Mitzvah to destroy the Chametz on Erev Pesach. And if you don't destroy the chametz on Erev Pesach and you have it in your possession after Chatzos, or if you eat the chametz instead of destroying, you eat the chametz, so you're in violation of the lav haba mechalal aseh tashbisu, to the exclusion of it. If you leave it there, you're not in violation pashtus. You're not in violation of balyura by motzei. Balyura by motzei al pi pashtus is only shivas yamim. So le motzei v'atechem only on Pesach. Some Rishonim want to say there is Bal Yirah by Matzah Nerev Pesach, but the Pashto says that there isn't. So it's an Isser Aseh. If you eat Chametz after Chatzos, it's an Isser Aseh. And it's a Mitzvah Saseh to burn the Chametz. It's both, that Pasuk Tashbisa, both a Kiyum Aseh and an Isser Aseh. Kika Chishisha Ubiyola. So the Rambam writes that it's a Mitzvah to get married. Some Rishonim hold it's not a Mitzvah. There's an institution of marriage. If you want to have children, you shouldn't have by znus. You should get married, but it's only a hechsher mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to get married. The Rambam counts it as a mitzvah. The Rambam counts two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah, lisa isha b'tzuba v'kedusha, a mitzvah to get married. Bichas erisin is a bichas ha-mitzvah, you say. Shegerishan b'mitzvah b'tzivanu. It's a bichas ha-mitzvah. Then there's another mitzvah, saseh, lifras v'livras, peri v'rivyam. It's not just a hechsher mitzvah. The Rosh in the beginning, ksubas, representing the Shitas Balei HaTosfos, says, no, it's a mitzvah pir b'rivya, and to get married is only a hechsher mitzvah. To date the girl is a mitzvah. It's a hechsher mitzvah. If you don't date the girl, just going to call a girl up on the phone and say, I'd like to marry you, it's not going to work. So you have to waste time on dates as a hechsher mitzvah to figure out which girl to marry and to convince her that she should marry you. So that's a hechsher mitzvah. So the child is getting married. Is that a mitzvah? So the Rambam Shita is, Lisa Isha Bitsuva Bekidushin, Kikach Ishisha, is a mitzvah, Saseh, Kiyum Aseh, Inseh Brocha, and Kiyum Aseh. And then the Pashto says it's an Isar Aseh also, that it's only muta to have beer with a woman, Derech Ishus. If you're going to have Znus with a woman, Shalot B'Derech Ishus, Pashto says that it's an Isar Aseh, Kikach Ishisha Ubiyolo. So you have sometimes a pasuk in both a Kiyum Aseh and an Isser Aseh, like Tashbisa by Erev Pesach and Kikach Chishisha. And sometimes the Pasuk is clearly only an Isser Aseh, like Kol Tzipa Torah Techelu. And sometimes it's clearly a Mitzvah Aseh, Talek Tefillin. Once a day, every day, a Mitzvah Aseh. So here it's interesting. Some Rishonim held, see, that on this Gemara, the Rambam Paskins both Lechumra. Shouldn't rely on Ruba Kukuloi. Why did he pass them both Lechumra? usually we pasken like the Lishna and Basras. The Gemara says, "E boy same aechad boiv, e boy same barubish alechad kamo." Well, no, we pasken like the Lishna and Basras. Except the Kesa Mishnah has a comment on this. He says, "Sofik deraisa luchumra." Says the Rambam, "The shitasa hold that it's a mitzvah." Says, "Say the shech." The rabbit is masig. It's not a mitzvah. Say it's an iser. Say you can't shech the inan zvuchi. You can't shech. If you didn't shech then and it dies a natural death, then it's an iser asay. It's an iser nevela also. It's an iser lois asay. But in addition to the iser nevela, it's an iser asay of not eating ena zvucha. But the rabbi holds that it's not a kiyam asay. It's an iser asay. An iser asay, you can't talk about a lachatchila deraisa. It can only be a lachatchila derabbanan. So the Kesa Mishnah explains the Rambam. The reason why the Rambam wrote lachumra on both of them, lachatchila sheshech shnei siman and ba'of, lachatchila sheshech kol ha-siman, kosafik deraisa lachumra. It's a mitzvah deraisa, and it's a safik deraisa. That was a machlekes harishonim, whether this lachatchila, machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, in the end of the first parak, we talk about lachatchila deraisa, lachatchila derabbanan. So they thought that that Kesa Mishnah was very difficult. And now, about 30 years ago, the alumni of Yeshiva Chaim Berlin printed a collection of letters by Rab Chaim Berlin. Originally, Rab Chaim Berlin was the son of the Netziv from his first marriage. Rameh Bar Ilan, who changed his name to Bar Ilan, was the son of the Netziv from the second marriage. The Netziv's first wife passed away. And he married his niece, who was much younger than him. His niece was the daughter of the Aruch HaShulchan. She had been previously married also. She ran away from her husband because she thought he was an Am HaAretz. And she finally got a get from the first husband. And then she said she only wants to marry someone who's a Talmid Chacham. So then when the Netziv's wife passed away, and they were looking for a shidduch, so she said she knows that her uncle knows how to learn. She'll volunteer to marry the uncle. And then they got married. So they had a child. That was Rav Meir Bar Ilan. So Meir Bar Ilan wrote a very fascinating book, Rabban Shal Yisrael, a whole biography of his father, Vinitziv. He has one whole chapter. It's about the way his mother had the courage to run away from her first husband because she decided, right or wrong, she decided that her husband is an Amoritz. And then she finally ended up. She married the Netziv as a Zivik Shem. So this Rav Meir Berlin, Rav Chaim Berlin, and Rav Meir Bar Ilan were brothers. They had the same father. They had a different mother. So the alumni of Yeshiva Chaim Berlin put together all the collection of letters that they found available. And then they found many more letters, and now they put it out. It's in three volumes, all the collection of letters. So one of the letters is about this topic. So someone wrote a sefer. He died around 100 years ago. So someone wrote a sefer. How are we in fulfillment of this mitzvah of shechting? So they wrote in the sefer, according to the Rambam, there's a mitzvah to shecht. So they wrote, the shechet in Idaho, or wherever they shecht, the shechet in New Jersey, the shechet has a mind to shecht for whoever is interested. So if you ever are interested in eating meat or chicken, and you go to the butcher shop and you buy something that was geshochten by that shechet 20 years ago, whatever, they had it in the freezer for 20 years, and you buy it, say, Gloy Milsalem Afreya, that it had you in mind when he shechted it, so you're a fulfillment of the mitzvah. That's what somebody wrote in the sefer. That's how we all fulfill the mitzvah, according to the Rambam. It's a mitzvah to shech when you're interested in eating. So the shechet has a mind to shech for everybody. So Rav Chaim Berlin wrote, he thinks that's a joke. What do you mean the shechet has a mind? Maybe he shechted it before I was even born. They keep the meat in the freezer forever. Who says, what do you mean he has a mind? What do you say, Yesh Pereira? He had a mind for whoever's going to shecht. So he thinks that he doesn't agree, Rav Chaim Berlin doesn't agree with the Kesa Mishnah. He thinks that the Rambam never meant that it's a mitzvah sesei. And it can't be a lachatchila deraisa on the shaykh if it's a mitzvah. If it's an iser, the lachatchila is only the rabbanon. He disagrees with the Kesa Mishnah. He thinks that the Rambam meant that it's an iser, I say. What the Ravid wrote, the Ravid is masik. How can you say it's a mitzvah to shech? If anything, it's a lava ba machlava, says. He thought that's what the Rambam meant also. That's Rav Soloveitchik also thought. He didn't think the Kesem Mishnah's pshat was correct, that the Rama means it's really a Kiyum Maaseh. Thought it's an Iser Aseh. Anyway, that's what it says here. That L'chatchila, either L'chatchila, the Raisa L'chatchila, the Rabbanon, L'chlokes HaRishayim, in the end of the first parak in Chulin. Are we talking about L'chatchila, the Raisa? One version is here, L'chatchila, L'chatchila, either the Raisa, the Rabbanon, not to rely on Ruba Kukuloi. The din is that if you shecht roif kana roif eishet, that's good enough. And l'chatchila, either med the Rabbanon or med the Raisa, you should not rely on Ruba Kukuloi. You should shecht kol ha'kana v'kol ha'veishet. So that's quoted in the Hilchus Arba Kosis. The Mechaber writes, if you drink rov kos, it's good. That's what the Gemara says. Drink rov kos, it's good, because Ruba Kukuloi. So the Magen Avraham, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, Magen Avraham says, but l'chatchila, should you really drink kol ha'kos? Based on this Gemara, whenever you're doing a mitzvah and you say Ruba Kukuloi, so the Chatchila should really do Kula. You shouldn't rely on Ruba. Let's say for Shabbos that you have Mechitzas, make a Rishus Ayochid. So you say Ruba Kukuloi, if it's Omed Beruba La Pertz, you have Pertzis in the house. So would you say L'chatchila, you shouldn't rely on Ruba Kukuloi, you have to have Mukav Kula? No, it's not a mitzvah. It's a matir. If you have mechitzas, then it's a rishus ayochid. If you don't have mechitzas, then it's either rishus a rama or a karmelis or something. And you're not allowed to carry. So it's not a mitzvah to make a mechitza. It's not a mitzvah to make a heta tiltol. So there you don't say, l'chatchila should have kuloi. We say, when you're doing a mitzvah, you say, l'chatchila should do kulam. Over here, it could be that it's only with the rabban. It can't be that it's minatir. Yeah, this din of Ruba Kukula, where do we learn that out from Ruba Kukula? So it's all based on the Pasuk in Mishpatim, Acher Rab Lahatas, that we read last week on Shabbos Parshas Mishpatim. You learn out from that din, the quote in the name of Rab Chaim, you learn out all the three dinim of Roiv. One din of Roiv is that Roiv is Mevarer. What the din is? If you have a split vote in the Bezin, two say is Chai Maman and one says he's Potter, so we go Basarov, we assume that the two are probably more correct than the one. Well, let's say you have a case of Din and Nefoshes, and you have a split vote. You have to have a Sanhedrin Ktana of 23 Dayanim for Din and Nefoshes. So 13 Dayanim say that is Chai Misa, and 10 Dayanim say that is Potter. So the Torah says, Acharam Lahatas, we assume that the Din is that is really Chayef, because the Roiv is Mevara the Din. And from that you derive the Roiv is Mevara the facts also. Probability. Poshe B'shat, probability. We mentioned that some Gedolim say, Rabosha Weiss has such a loshan, in Sefer, on Mishpatim, and Menchas Osher, he has in the Sefer, on Parsh Mishpatim, and that passage, he says, the Roiv is not probability. So, I don't know what he thinks the Roiv is. Pashtun says, the Roiv is a din of probability. He has some new opinion. Some complicated pshat. But the Pashtun says, the Roiv means a probability. If you have a split vote, you assume the Roiv are probably right. The probability is that they're right. So the same thing, if you don't know what the facts of the case are, so there is Mavara, the facts of the case. Then you have a din of Ruba Kukula, the Psak and Din Imam is supposed to be issued by Bezin of three. So one of them didn't agree. So he didn't issue the Psak. Or the Psak and Din Nefosh is supposed to be issued by the Sanhedrin of 23. So 10 of them said Potter. So how can you say that the Psak was issued by the Sanhedrin? So the answer is Ruba Kukula. Since 13 out of the 23 said Chai Misa, you say Ruba Kukula is considered as if the whole Sanhedrin said Chai Misa. If you have 2-1, a split vote in Dinim Amunas, so you say Ruba Kukula is considered as if the Psak was issued by the whole Bet. So the first two Dinim of Roiv, that Roiv is Mevara, the Din of Roiv is Mevara, the facts probability, that we understand more or less. That Ruba Kukula we understand also, but then the third Din, the Bitl Beroiv, if an Isa falls into Heter, and you have Roiv Heter, Miodisan, and Zain Aniker, that you go a bitl beroiv, that we don't really understand how do you derive that from the Psuk. So they quote something in the name Rab Chaim. I didn't understand it, so I couldn't say it all. I don't know. But this then we understand. That you say Ruba Kukula, yeah. Where else do you apply Ruba Kukula? By Mechitza. Let's say you have a rectangular shape area. So you need Ruba Kukulai, Omer Ruba Laparts on each Ruach separately. On northern border, eastern border, southern border, western border, each one you say Ruba Kukulai. So Ruba Kukulai applies there. Where else do you say Ruba Kukulai? a Pesach haba betumah. If yechidim are tamei, then they need chum le Pesach sheni. If the roiv hatzibur is tamei, then they bring the korban Pesach betumah. They bring a Pesach rishon betumah. So that's based on ruba kukuloi. If the old zebra is tamei, that's ruba kukuloi. Where else do you have ruba kukuloi? Shviras klicheres. It says in the chumash that he klicheres as makabel tumah. Him lo tara b'mikveh. So it's going to be main tamei le'olam vo'ed. So the pasuk says yishaver. If you smash it, then it's no longer tamei. That's a question. Why is that so? Why is that so? That's a question. So Tosfos says because once it's a broken kli, it's not. It not only can it not be makabel tumah mikana labo, it can't be tain tumah. In order to be makabel tumah, there are only four categories of things that are makabel tumah. So let's say oichel. Oichel has to be meichel adam. So the oichel was makabel tumah. Then it becomes spoiled. You leave it out of the refrigerator, it gets rotten and gets spoiled. Nifsam achilos adam. Nifsam achilos adam. So not only is it not makabel tumah, you can't lahabo, the tumah that it had vanishes into thin air. In order to be makabel tumah, it has to be roil achilos adam. In order to retain tumah, it has to be roil achilos adam. A kli, if a kli is smashed, kli breaks into little pieces, so it's not a kli. So even if the kli was makabel tumah, where it was shalem, and then it smashes into little pieces, so it can't be tain tumah either. So Tosfos said that's the yisoid of the din of shviras hakelim. Once the thing is broken, it's not a kli anymore, so it can't be tain tumah. So Rashi doesn't seem to hold like that. The Sifro has a havamina, just like there's a concept of Shviras HaKelim. Shviras HaKelim is a concept in Kabbalah. So we ought to use a different word. Shviras HaKli. Shviras HaKli. Yishaveh, a Kli Cheres, has no tar b'mikveh, so it says if you break it, it becomes tar. So Tosfos understood, because it's not a Kli now. It can't be Mekabel Tumah. But the Sifro had a havamina that shvira should be metaher by oichlim. Let's say you had a piece of a steak, and I'm tamei. I touched the steak, so the whole steak becomes tamei. So there's a havamina in the Sifro that if you cut the steak into little pieces, the tumah will vanish into thin air. So Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Tam that there must be a minimum size for oichel to be mekabel tumah. If there's no minimum size, even a kol shehu. The Gemara says, in order to be makabel tumah, even less than a kadeitza, a boichlam is makabel tumah. But in order to transmit tumah lacherim, if the food is tumah, you want to know, can it transmit the tumah to mashkim that it touches? So it has to be a kadeitza. Less than a kadeitza will not transmit tumah. It's not mitame acherim. So Tosfos' opinion is that the fact that a culture who is makabel tumah, that must be midirabbanan. Minatori, you need a kadeitza. Less than kebetz is not mekabel tumah, because if Rashi holds not, so Rashi holds koshu is mekabel tumah min haTorah. There's no minimum size for oichel to be mekabel tumah. And so Tosfos says on Rashi, if there's no minimum size, so what's going to be a havamina that shvira should be metar by oichel? You're going to have a big steak and you cut it in half. So why should it be tohar? Even if it's less than a there is no shear. There is no minimum size. If you cut it to less than the shear, then there's room for a havamina. It doesn't have the shear. Apparently, Rashi is not bothered with that. The Chiddush Aran Achulin points out, Rashi apparently thinks that if you smash a kli, it becomes tohar because, like shock treatment, you smashed it. So it knocks the kishkas out of the kli, so the tumah disappears. So there would have been a havamina that you have oichel. If the yochel would have been tiny in the first place, it would have been mekabel tumah min haTorah. But if the yochel was bigger and you smash it into small pieces, there would have been a half minute that it becomes tar, even though there's no minimum size needed to be mekabel tumah.
We also have din shviras kelim by kachim, by the chatas. They have to be shover the kli that the chatas was prepared in for the kohanim. There it's in inyan of the shviras kli, that whatever the force is disappears, but it's really tam. No, it's ochlin. That's the problem there.
Yeah, there it means that if you cook a korban in a kli cheres, so you can't do hagolah. Usually, if you cook the korban in a kli, so if you wait till after this man achil of the korban, so even at the time that I cooked the korban, everything was kosher. But if I wait till one day is up or 2 days are up, then the bliya nikli becomes nicer. So then you're not allowed to cook another carbon in the kli because as a tray for bliya of nicer in the kli. So the pasuk says you have to do hagolah. Marek v'shut abamayim, you have to do hagolah. Parshas tzav. And hagolah doesn't work by klicheres. Hatorah hid al klicheres. Sheni yitz midei doifil yodim. You can't do hagolah on a klicheres. So if you want, you can do libun. But the Gemara says in Zvachim, we don't want to do libun in Yerushalayim. Hachzor l'kivshoinis, because then you're going to make Yerushalayim full of soot. It's going to be dirty, and we want Yerushalayim to be a pretty city. You're going to have smoke all over the place. You're going to have filth all over the place. So we don't do libun. So when the Torah says, if you cook the korban and the klicheres, yishove, yishove means you smash it and you throw it in the garbage. You make sure that it won't be used again. It doesn't help. After you smash it, you can't glue it back together again and cook another korban in it. The pasha, you smash it and throw it in the garbage, and no one else will use it. But here, by klicheres that was makabel tumah, if you smash it, it becomes tahor. And then once it becomes tahor, you can use it. You can use it for something else.
So why does the Torah want us to dafka smash them? Why can't we be gone as the kalim or something?
Probably can't be gone. I don't know if you have to smash it by the korbanos. Just means if you're going to be gone as it, someone may find it. Oh, he just discovered a kli. So he'll use it.
You have a thing where you have to smash it in the Azara, the Mishnayos say, and you're not allowed to smash it outside the Azara.
I don't remember. Could be. Could be, I mean, it says Beferish that it's a mitzvah that has to be done in the Azara. I don't remember. I remember Brikos Shtifa has to be done in the Azara. To do the Hagolah has to be done. But I remember Shvir Sakel, could be, also has to be done. Then you're assuming that it's a mitzvah, has to be fulfilled Dafka in a specific place. So the Gemara has a din. What if I had a Kli? So this din of Shvira, that it's Mitar the Kli, Klicheres is not restricted only to Klicheres. If you have a clean Mateches, you don't have to smash it. You can be Tovel in a mikveh and make it Tohar. But if you Tovel in a mikveh, then you have to wait till Harav Shemesh. If you smash it, you don't even have to wait. Why should the guy be in such a rush? He's going to smash the Kli and then glue it back together again. Meshugadav Mazai. So let him be Tovel in a mikveh and wait till Harav Shemesh and it'll be Tohar. The Gemara tells a story that Heleni Hamalka was once scheduled to have a whole big party, and all the kela became tamei. So she didn't want to wait till tomorrow. The party was today. So she had her experts smash all of the kela and glue them all back together again. Once you smash the kli, it's tohar legami. You don't need any harav shemesh. If you table something in a mikveh, so it's tohar for my sushani purposes, but for truma, for kachim, it'll still be, that's called the tful yom, it'll still be tamei. So she wanted to use it the same day. Apparently, the kachim of my sajeni. So she had them smash it, and then they glued it back together again. So after that story, the chachamim made exer the rabbanon of tumi yishana. That whenever you have a clean mateches and you smash, that's tomei. You have a clean mateches, that's tomei, and you could have been toivel in the mikveh, but you chose you want to smash it and glue it back together again. Very expensive. So then, with the rabbanon, we say after you smash it, it becomes tahor. But then, when you glue it back together again, chozer the tumasa yishana. With the rabbanon, we say the tumah comes back again. On the level of the raisa, there is no such thing. Once the tumah disappeared, it vanishes into thin air. It doesn't come back. Yesh miyayin. But with the rabbanon, made it zera because the people may not smash it properly. So that din of smashing the kli. What if I had a gigantic kli, had a pot, a soup pot, big soup pot? I smashed it in such a way that I have 60% of the kli is still intact, and the other piece is 40% of the kli. So the 40% of the kli that's still intact is called sheva kli. That's no longer tummy. But the one that's the 60% of the kli that retains the tumah from before, that's not called the sheva kli. I say ruba kukula. That's the Gemara. The Gemara has various cases where you say ruba kukula. Ruba kukula by mechitza. I made meruba laparit. Say ruba kukula. The area is considered mukaf for Shabbos purposes. Maka mukaf is the rishus hayochid. Say ruba kukula by shchita. Ruba kukula by arba koisis. The chatchila, the Magen Avraham says you should follow the Gemara. When it comes to a mitzvah, you shouldn't rely on ruba kukula. You should drink kol hakois. But if you drank roif hakois, you're tzibri yevit. In all these cases, they say Ruba Kukula. So Gemara has one sweeping shaila whatever you say, Ruba Kukulai, based on that pasuk, Acharam Lahatos, doesn't mean you have to have taka 51% to say Ruba Kukulai. What if it's exactly 50-50? How can it be exactly 50-50? It's very rare. That's a big machlokes in the Gemara. Do you say Epshalat Samsem or Epshalat Samsem? Will you have the Shaila Epshalat Samsem or Epshalat Samsem? So you have it in different cases, sometimes B'day Shamayim and sometimes B'day Odom. Where do you have it? B'day Shamayim? So the Mishnah Choras has a rare case. Could be that it'll never come up in a million years, but the Tanoim have, they talk about abstract cases, even if it's never going to come up in a million years. Want to be involved what the din is. If a cow gives birth, a behemoth Torah gives birth to a zocher, then the kavas don't have kedusha. Only the behemoth zocher has kedusha. So if the cow gives birth to an akeva first, it doesn't have a kedusha as behar behemoth Torah. But if it gives birth to a zocher first, peterechem, so it has a kedusha as korban behar. It's a matnas kluna. One of the chavtalim matnas kluna, you have to give it matana to the kohanim. Kohanim have to be makriv in the base on mikdash. As a carbon, it's a gotch mekalim, and you eat it, people shall like mekdusha v'tahara. So what happens if what's the definition of born first? Rosho or Rubo? That's a din by, let's say, a human baby also. The first baby that's born gets pishnayim. So what do you mean the first baby that's born? So either yotze or Rosho, the din is rov Rosho. You don't even need kolar Rosho. You don't even need rov harosh, you just need rov hapadachas. Usually this part of the head comes out first, where the hair, where the circle by the hair begins. So that part comes out first. If so much of the head came out from the rechem or aim, that the rov hapadachas, the padachas from here to here, to the eyebrows, if rov hapadachas is out already, even though it could be the rov of the head is not out, but rov hapadachas is out, that's called yolud. And if that baby goes back in and the other baby pushes back out, like Maparat Talecha Peretz, Vikishma Peretz, that one started to come out and the other one pushed out his way first. So the one who was Yotzer Rov Rosho first, he's the Pchor, and he gets a Pishnayim. So the Mishnah has a Machlokes Hatanoim in Pchoris. What if the cow is pregnant with two male Vlodis? And Yotzu Shnei Roshim Kachas, the both heads come out simultaneously, exactly. It's far-fetched, how can it happen? So, Shon, Machlok is Hatanoim. Well, what do you mean they both came out? It's impossible, not that it's far-fetched, one in a billion, one in a million, billion, zillion, trillion. It's impossible. Of course there's going to be a split second that one is going to come out, the rover, one is going to come out before the other. So the Tanoim knew that, but it's the Machlok is, whenever the Torah tells you a precise shear, an exact din, does it depend on the way it appears to us? They say, no, it depends, klapish ma'egalia. If it depends really, in truth, klapish ma'egalia, so it's never going to be. That's called e'epshalitzamtzen. It's never going to be exactly the same. But if you hold e'epshalitzamtzen, then you have to talk about yotze shnei roshin ke'echot. The two heads of the two vlodas came out simultaneously. So one time is of the opinion that both have a kedusha as b'chor be'emeter. It's never going to happen in a million years. But the Tanaim argue about that. So that's called a machlokes whether Epshalit Samsem or Epshalit Samsem, Bidei Shamayim. What do you mean Bidei Shamayim? The cow is giving birth, and you have people watching the way it's giving birth, and it's a split second when the two heads come out. And to the best of the ability of the people watching, it looks like the Yotzei Shnei Roshim were literally the Vasachas. So that's a question, and you can't repeat it. You don't have a video, and you'll show it a few times, 100 times, and you watch again and again to see maybe one was born before the other. It happened one split second, and it can't be repeated. But then there's another case of an issue where the Epshalit Samsem, or Epshalit Samsem, with the other. But the other means, let's say, there's a Mishnah, there's a Perek in the end of Soita that's called Perek Egla Rufa, has all the details of the din of Egla Rufa. What's the din of Egla Rufa? Kimatze Chol Ba'adoma, if you find a person murdered. Chol doesn't mean dead, it means he was murdered. In Eretz Yisrael, doesn't apply in Chutz Lords. You have to measure Mordad El Harim HaShitzvivas HaCholo. You have to have members of Yotzev Zekanecha V'Shavtecha, a representation of the Bez Nagod will have to come, you have to measure to the ear, to the Ayoris, the cities that are Svivas Acholo, And here, Akroi Balachol, the city that's closest, is obligated to bring an egg larufa. So the Gemara has a whole discussion at Tanoim. If you're measuring to the two different cities, what if it's exactly 50, exactly equal? Mechulim, nimtza mechulim men shtei ayaris. You leave the body there. The Mishnah says you have to leave the body there. And you have to notify Bez Nagala. You don't bury him. You don't put a marker where he was. You leave the body. The members from the Bez Nagala have to come to measure to the city's Svibis Alchom. So what part of the body do you measure from? Do you measure from the head? Do you measure from the toes? Measure from the heart? So it's all discussion in the Mishnah. From the heart or from the brain or from the foot? Where do you measure from? Then you measure to the cities of Shasvivas Achol. Which part of the city? The closest part of the city. How do you determine where the city limits are? So the dinim in Erevin about that. Where is the ear and where is the burish alir? Where is tchum ha'ir? All different dinim. So if it turns out that it's exactly nimtza mechuvim nishtei ayaris, again, never going to happen in a million years. Never happened. Never happened. Was there ever an egla rufa? That's the question. Was there ever an egla rufa in the history of the world? Was there ever an egla rufa? If there was an egla rufa, then there's a nachal eisan. Then the nachal eisan asher lo yeovid v'lo yizarea. So when the Jews came back in 1948 to Eretz Yisrael, there's a nachal eisan somewhere. There's a valley somewhere. How do you translate nachal eisan? Nachal is translated what? A valley or a river? It's also machlokes. Also machlokes on a din deraisa. I think the Rambam learns Nachal is a river. Nachal Eisan, what does Eisan mean?
Strong, rough.
Kosher. Nachal, so the Rambam says it's a river that goes with a force. And Rashi says it's a valley that nobody plants anything there. Nothing grows there. It's an empty valley. So when the Jews came back in 1948, did anybody alive have a tradition where there's a Nachal Eisan? No one ever heard there's a Nachal Eisan. So they made kibbutzim all over Eretz Yisrael. So maybe there's a place where they brought the Negla Rufa and the Nachal Eisan is also to plant. So you say it's Batel Bereif. If there was, there's so many other kibbutzim, so many other farms. So it'll be Batel Bereif. So the Pi Megadim quotes the Kasha and the Minchas Kayin. It should be called Kavua Kamachsa Machsada. How can you say Batel Bereif? It's Karka. Rechuba la Karka should be called Kavua. So you shouldn't be allowed to work, shouldn't be allowed to till a land anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe it's a Nachal Eisan. Maybe you're a valley, if you hold like Rashi, that it means a valley. If it means a river, so maybe this river is the Nachal Eisan. So the one river, maybe. So we don't have that tradition. It could be that there never was an Egla Rufa. Could be there never was an Egla Rufa. We're not sure. But the Mishnah is right, all of them. So this then for sure. Probably never came up. In a million years, not going to come up. Nimtza Mechuvah and Nishtei Ayaris. The Tanoim talk about abstract cases. That probably never came up. You measured to the cities of Shesvivas Alcholov, and it's exactly Machza Machza, Nimta Mechuv Meshte Ayaris. You say that the both cities bring an Egla Rufa not. So they measure over and over and over again. Every single time they measure comes out to be exactly equidistant to the two cities. So that's the Shaila, whether you say Efshel Tzamtzem Bidiyodom, because you measure it again and again, every time it comes out to be the same. So that's my claim. It's actually the same to me.
Is that considered a suffix? We don't know if there was ever. It's just, let's say a Cohen, he says maybe there's a mace. Is that considered a suffix?
Maybe there's a mace.
Maybe it's like mace. It's a suffix. It's not going to be considered even a suffix.
Yeah.
So we don't have to go into the question of is there Rome or not. I mean, we won't have a problem with Kavua.
Yeah, but if I know historically that there was once an Egla Rufa and there was once an Nachal Eisan, so where is it? Unless you're assuming that we never heard that there ever was. So we assume there never was an Nachal Eisan. But if you know there was once in the history of the world an Egla Rufa, then there should be a Nachal somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, whatever Nachal means. Either according to the Rambam means a river, according to Rashi means a valley. There should be one Nachal Atzoser Bahanoah that Yenana should lay Yovid, below Yizareah. That's it. So we assume we have no historical record that there ever was an Egla Rufa. So we assume that there ever was. We assume there never was. Wow. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Perek Bensara talks, one Tana says there never was and never will be a Bensara Mora, because the conditions are so far-fetched. One Tana says there never was and never will be a Tzaras Batim. Nigei Batim is so far-fetched. And one Tana says, there never was and never will be an Eri Dachas. How can it be an Eri Dachas? If you have one mezuzah, it doesn't have Eri Dachas. It's impossible. How can you have a city in Eretz that doesn't have a mezuzah? So the Tanaim over there only talk about these three mitzvahs, because the conditions for Eri Dachas are so ridiculously impossible. If you have one mezuzah, so there's no din of Eri Dachas. How can it be a city that has no mezuzah, no svarim, nothing? How can it be? And then Saramara, the conditions are so far-fetched, the parents have to be the same height and the same weight, the same facial features and the same voice. How can it be the woman has a man's voice, the man has a woman's voice? Husband and the wife are the same height and the same weight and everything the same. It's so far-fetched. So Gemara there in Sanhedrin only talks about these three. But that's what the Achrayim talk about. Egla Rufa, it would appear that there never was. You can't say there never was and never will be. But it's so far-fetched. The conditions are rare that there should be a din of Egla Rufa. Anyway, so the Gemara talks over there about Epshalit Samtsem, E Epshalit Samtsem. Where do we have? We have the whole long tesis here. Al Chav Ches on the base. How do we paskin? Do we paskin? Do we paskin E Epshalit Samtsem? Both Bidei Adam and Bidei Shamayim? Or maybe we should split the psak that Bidei Shamayim E Epshalit Samtsem. Because there's only one split second, and you can't repeat it. You can't repeat it to check the second time. But whenever it's Bidei Adam, and you measured it time and time and time again, and every time it comes out to be exactly the same, then maybe we should say that Bidei Adam, it is Epshalit Samtsem. So that's a big machlokes in Tosfos. How do we paskin? Okay. That's the long Tosfos on Chav Ches on the base. So the Gemara has a discussion. How do you know that shechita min atzavar? Minayin l'shechita omer av kahana. Minayin l'shechita she'i min atzavar. So they're quoting psukim. The Gemara says, there's so many other dinim. That's one of the dinim of shechita. That's the shechita min atzavar. So the Gemara says, she adrosa chalad agrama v'ikar. How do you know that? Ela Gemara. Gemara, we usually assume, like Rashi says, Allah from Moshe Messina. Shechita min atzav nami Gemara. We don't really need a pasuk. Shechita min atzav is a Allah from Moshe Messina. We know what it is. But the mashmos of the pasuk was that you need shechita min atzav. So the Gemara says, no, that pasuk is not needed to tell me. Shechita min atzav, krodam ayosa, dala l'shavuye gistero. You shouldn't make it a gistero. What does that mean? So Rashi has two pshatim. One pshat in Rashi is, after you shecht the kon and the veshev, you're not allowed to continue to shecht the mefrekes. Shouldn't shecht the spine. And if you do shecht the spine, what's going to be? It'll become an avela. After shechting the kon and the veshev, it's already nishchat, the shechita is finished. After shechting the kon and the veshev, it's possible to make an avela? Is that possible? So l'shitas Rashi, maybe it is possible. Because Rashi learned in Gemara, how to suffix, what's the din of chalada b'miyot basra? Hechlid b'miyot simonim, laman on his base. Hechlid b'miyot simonim, ma'u teku, right before the Mishnah. So Rashi learns, you already did roif kon and roif eshet. Then you do chalada, and you shech the miyot basra b'chalada. So Rashi learned, that's the Gemara's a Bible of shita, you call the chumra, teku b'teraisa l'chumra. Rashi has the same on shia b'miyot basra. Shiva Mir Basra. Shav Mir Tzimana. My Teku. Alamed Beis Amaral. Before the second Mishnah on the Daf. So Tosfos and many Rishonim disagree with Rashi. That's ridiculous. You shechted the Kon and the Veshet already. The Shechit is completed. Then you continue to do the rest of the Shechit on the Mir Basra. B'chaloda or B'hagrona. Got to make it into an Avela. But you already did the Shechit. It was Chal already. The Rashi holds that it's not a Kasha. The Ramah is Machma for Ashkenazim. Meaning about Ashkenazim always was. Like Rashi, that we're Machma Shir B'mir Basra, Chaloda B'mir Basra. There would have been room to distinguish, this is there. Laman Amadei says, there would have been room to distinguish to say that Hagroma B'mir Basra should not be a problem. That was a Machlokes in the end of the first paragraph, on the Afyu Tes. The Gemara there seems to be ignoring this possibility. After shechting the kodesh neveshet, you can do hagrama. You shecht hagrama. You shecht too high or too low. shalobim makom shchita. So the Gemara doesn't have such a possibility. The Rashi says, but once you learn the Gemara here, that chalada b'miyad basu is a teku. And once you learn the Gemara lamed beis amaral before the second Mishnah, that shir b'miyad basu is a sofik sveik adina. So then there's room to say that hagram b'miyad basu will also make it in the veil. So Taisa said, even though Rashi said that, there's room to distinguish. There's room to say hagram is in gamsen shalob makom shchita. That's like cutting off the legs. Let's say you shecht an animal, rovkana the roveshet, then the animal is still alive. So you take a sword and you cut the whole animal in half by the chest. You cut the legs apart. So everything, all the blood comes out, the animal's going to die because of lack of blood. So that's not a psul. So the same thing, hagrama b'mir basa, there's room to say hagrama, shalom ha-makam shchita, that should be kosher l'chaladez. But Rashi put it together. Rashi thinks, Rashi and Lamana and base raises the issue that hagrama b'mir basra, the Gemara doesn't consider it a problem with daf yutes, but once you come to this Gemara, you see that hagrama b'mir basra could also be a problem. Okay. So that's one way to read this Gemara in the beginning of the second parak, that if you'll do dolo shabuya gistera, if you'll continue to cut and cut the mifrekes, it'll turn out to be an avail. Others, this is a big issue. Before the Nazis decided to kill all the Jews, so first they made gzeiros. At first they didn't let the Jews run businesses. They made it impossible to make a parnasa. They made one gzeirah after the other. So then they made, at one time they made a gzeirah, the Jews are shechting, the Jews in Germany by the Ashkenazim are shechting twice as many animals as they really need. So the Germans decided that it's tzar balei chayim, the way we shecht animals. They know when the animals are suffering, when the animals are not suffering. They know about suffering. So they decided that shechita is tzar balei chayim. So it's a religious ritual by us. So they said you can only shecht proportionate to the amount of meat that you need. So the whole animal, you can eat the whole animal. So we always shecht twice as many animals as we need because we don't eat the hind parts of the animal. Half of the animal we don't eat because we lost the tradition which chaylev is aser, which chaylev do you have to remove, and which chaylev is shuman. The kosher fat is called shuman. Maybe it's not so healthy, but it's not the chaylev. There's no isekaris on it. So Sfardim, all the years, maintain the tradition. How do you do nikur? Nikur means how do you cut out the gid anoshe? That's aser. And how do you cut out the chaylev? That's aser. The nikur, usually in the slaughterhouses, the goyim cut out the gid anoshe. The goyim know better than the rabbis what part you have to cut out. But the chaylev, that's, we're not sure. So the Ashkenazim, they shech twice as many animals because half the animal, well, all the chaylev it is. So we don't, Ashkenazim didn't practice nikur for many years. So first the Germans made a gzera that you only can shech that amount of animals. So the shayla was, can Ashkenazim rely on the practice of the Sfardim? The Sfardim claim that they do have a tradition, which is the chelev that you have to cut out. So that's Rav Chaim Oizer died in the middle of the Second World War. And he printed three volumes of the Achiezer, his tshuvas, during his lifetime. There were more tshuvas that were printed after he passed away that he had never put together to edit and prepare for publication. So the third volume of the Achiezer was printed in the middle of the war. He writes in the Hakdomen that somebody may raise an issue. I'm spending money to print the Shalos and Shuvas. We could use the money to save lives. They would bribe the Nazis to save Jewish lives. And maybe instead of spending a few $1,000s on publishing the third volume of the Achiezer, maybe you should have given the money to bribe the Nazis to save a few lives. So he says, he considered it and he decided that this keeps the Jewish people alive also. Publishing the Shalos HaTshuvas keeps us alive. So he decided to print his tshuvas. So the last tshuva, the third chelek that he printed during the war is about this. Can the Ashkenazim rely on the tradition of the Sfardim that they know how to do nikur, and otherwise we won't be able to eat meat. There's half the amount of meat that we need. So he's mekel anan. He has a very short tshuva. He's mekel anan. So that was what they first made. Gzeira, you shouldn't shech twice as many animals as you need, because shechita is tabal adam. Then they decided you can't do shechita the way we do it either. You have to kill the animal instantaneously. So after you cut the carnivation, you have to break the spine. You have to cut the spine also. So according to Rashi, according to one pshat Rashi, the lolo shabu yigistra, it'll be asa b'achila. If you cut the spine, you're not allowed to make it gistra. You're not allowed to cut further. So that's a shaila when Rashi said the lolo shabu yigistra means if you'll be choytach the mefrekas lishnayim, it'll become an avela. Rashi lishitos after shechting the cut in the beishit, if you continue to do something, sometimes it'll make it an avela. And maybe Rashi just meant if you cut the spine, this will have a biological effect on the animal. It won't be able to be motzi ol adam. Maybe it'll be the problem like Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, when you shecht an oaf, it's not sufficient if you shecht simen echad, the kona or the veshet, as sheyishchat asavreidin. So the Gemara had a shaila, would shehiya pasol? If you shecht the kona and the veshet, and then you do shehiya until you shecht the vreidin, which she had pasul. Gemara said, what pasul? You don't need it. It's not part of the shechita. You have to cut the braid. You can puncture the braid. You can make a nekev in the braid. The shechting of the braid is because of an issue of dam. You won't have enough dam come out. But if you're going to cut up the chicken into little pieces and you're going to salt every piece separately, there won't be a problem. If you're going to be tzaleo kula kachas, then you're going to have an issue. Maybe normally dam can come out either by salting the meat or by broiling the meat. But if you didn't shecht the vreden soon after the shechitas, or a beauty is concerned, it may be full of dam. So some say that that's the pshat over here. If you're going to cut the mifrekas after you shecht the kon and the veshet of the, if you're going to cut of the animal, you're going to cut the mifrekas and may trap a lot of dam, and you may need extra salting later on. But it's not necessarily that Rav Shi meant to say that it's going to make it in the veil. Okay, that's the shaila. What did Rashi mean? Then Rashi has another pshat, the lola shavui, lishnachrina in Rashi, the lola shavui gistra, you shouldn't do drasa. You shouldn't do drasa. Drasa means if you push down, if you have a very sharp knife. When the Hasidus first began, so the gedolim, the Ashkenazi gedolim, the mesnagdim, had a couple of tainas. So one taina was that they didn't observe zman, kriya shma, zman tefillah. They davened the all cockeyed hours of the day and the night. Everything was tzidrei. Then another taina that they had was that they middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, they're jumping around and dancing around and rolling on the floor, all kinds of crazy things. So that they put an end to. And then one of the tainas was that they used to shecht with sakinim ulutoshim, very, very, very sharp knives. If you have a knife that's not so sharp, so you won't be able to do drasa. When you lay the animal upside down because you want to shecht on this side of the neck. So if you take a knife that's not so sharp, that's not so thin, you can't push it down like this. You have to fiddle back and forth. So you're not going to do drasa. But if you have a sharp, an extremely sharp knife that's very, very thin, it's possible to take the knife and to cut with drasa without moving back and forth. That'll be an avela. That'll make an avela. So that was, at that time, that was a big issue. The Gedolim were upset. Now, 200 years later, now everybody uses sakin l'mushutoshim. Everybody uses those knives, and you have to be careful not to do drasa. So Rashi's second shot was, the lola shavu yigistra doesn't mean you shouldn't cut the mefrekas because it'll either make it nevela or they trap the dam, but rather you should check in such a way that you shouldn't do drasa. Shouldn't do drasa. Okay, so that's the Gemara. Rabbi Weinberg, Chil Yaakov Weinberg, was the head of the Hildesheim Seminary that was a yeshiva in Berlin before the war. They had secular studies there too. It was a different kind of a yeshiva. So he was, he wrote long essays about these things. And then the German government wanted we should stun the animals before you shecht them, so you wouldn't have the Tsar Baal Chaim. So he writes a lot about that, about stunning the animals, and then about cutting the mifrekas. He has a whole sefer. He wrote a whole sefer. He didn't want to publish it at the time. He waited till after everything was all over, and then he published it. But he had to consult with all the rabbanim. It was negev to all the Jews all over the world, whether stunning the animals. So he consulted with the rabbanim from Eastern Europe. Not like a little shaila that the local rabbi, a big guy, has a right to paskin. It's neged all of Klal Yisrael. So he consulted with a lot of people. That's the whole first volume of the Sfida Yesh, is all about the stunning of the animals and the lola shavu yigistra and so on.
Maybe this is a little Machshava question, but how the Sri Aish even considering not to follow the minhag of the Sfaradim and also Reinberger with those issues, wouldn't that also be like Arkita de Misana, like because it's Shas Hashma, that they shouldn't even change the minhag of Ashkenaz? How can they do things like that?
If we're just lazy, we don't want to figure out which is the chelem, which is not, and we're not sure. So, strictly speaking, we could have always used the tradition of Sfarad, but we're lazy, so we never did. But now, if the government isn't going to let you shechten up, it's not a Shas Hashmad. Later on, it turned into a Shas Hashmad. Later on, when Hitler spoke, there was a big machloikis in the concentration camps. They gave them non-kosher food to eat. So there was a big machloikis among the rabbanim. Are you allowed to eat the non-kosher food? On the one hand, pikuach nefesh is decha kol ha-torko. If you want to survive, you have to eat the non-kosher food. On the other hand, maybe it's called the Shas Hashmad. So the majority of the rabbanim felt that it's not a Shas Hashmad, that Hitler was a lunatic, that he just wanted to wipe out, he wanted to, his Aryan race was the Aman Ifchar, and he wanted to kill all the minorities. He was killing Albanians, and he was killing gypsies. He was killing all the minorities. So it wasn't really a Shas Hashmad against the Jewish people. Many years later, after they made public the records of the Congress, of the Reichstag, so they have a talk that Hitler gave. He said it's a war against the God of the Jewish people. He doesn't like the Jewish religion. The Jewish religion teaches people to be goody-goodies. And he holds that power is more important than being moral. So he said, Beferish, it's a war against the God of the Jewish people. So it probably was a Shas Hashmad. It probably should have been Yehoreg Val Yapa. But at the time, the Rabbanim didn't know what he said in the Reichstag. So most of the Rabbanim assumed that it just came, just plain Sakonis Nefoshes. It's not Miskaven Lahavar Al Adas. That's what they thought. It's not Miskaven Lahavar Al Adas. There's a big Talmud Chacham. His name. I got his name. So, Bing Talmud Chacham, whose wife published the two volumes, his wife did a lot of research into the Shoah. Her parents were from Hungary, I think. So, she did a lot of research about Shmiras HaMitzvahs under the Nazis in the death camps. So she has this whole, all the psukim from the Rabbanim, she has the whole thing in her book. Yeah. What does the Gemara have later on the daf? On the last two lines. Sometimes there's a mitzvah of kedima. You have to do a mitzvah. You should do this part of the mitzvah before that. Let's say you have to put on the shal yad first, then you put on the shal rosh. There's a machlekes, the Rambam and other Rishonim, whether shal yad and shal rosh are one mitzvah or two mitzvahs. The Rambam thinks they're two mitzvahs. And other Rishonim say, how can it be two mitzvahs? If you have a lechatchila to do it like this, sounds like it's one mitzvah. How should you do the one mitzvah? First put on the shal yad, then put on the shal rosh. Do we have a kedima in two mitzvahs? Yeah, we have. It's not such a murderous kashrut. We have sometimes a kedima in two mitzvahs. We have in Shulchan Aruch, you should first put on the talis, and then put on the tefillin. If you have both talis and tefillin, first put on talis and tefillin are clearly two different mitzvahs. Have a kol tada v'shena tada tada kodim. You have tada, you have mekudesh, v'ena mekudesh, mekudesh kodim. So the Mishnah is to have in Perek Kol HaTodir. That's in Zvachim, Daf Pei Tes. That's how the Perek begins. The Chumash tells us we are obligated to bring a Korban Tomid every day. On some special occasion, you have to bring a Korban Musaf. So the Korban Tomid should be brought before the Korban Musaf because Torah B'Sheni Torah, Torah Korban. So you see that there isn't even a din of Kedima in two different mitzvahs. So I think within the same mitzvah, there's a correct, more correct way to perform the mitzvah. So the Gemara lines up in the Pasuk, Shekoidmim, the Rosh and the Poder should be Korev on the Mizbeach. Shekoidmim lechol hanesach. Before you do the Haktorah on the others. Also, it says, we need to chosin l'nesachah. You have to cut up the Korban Oilo. Oyla, you burn the whole thing. For the other karbanos, you only burn the chaylev, and the rest is nechal to kohanim. Chatas anoshim is nechal to zichri kohuna and the azara. Shlomim is nechal to anybody. Meiser is nechal to the owner. Pchor is nechal to the kohanim. Okay. So you don't burn the whole thing. But by karbanol, you burn the whole thing kula kolo. So it says, v'nita chasel nitzacha, you don't take the whole animal as it is, and you put it on the mizbech, and cut it up to specific sizes. You don't just cut the way you want. The Gemara learns that, v'nita chasel nitzacha, v'loy nitzachel nitzacha. You had it in the first parrot. So the Mishnah is in Yuman, the Mishnah is in Tom, and tell you exactly how he's supposed to cut up the oil. What size pieces are you supposed to be makriv on the mizbech? And then the pasuk says, v'nita chasel nitzachel, and then you take the nitzachem and you makta them on the mizbech. So one might have mistakenly thought that since the Rosh is already hutas, the din of Anita Chasel and Sachera applies to the rest of the animal. It doesn't apply to the Shorosh. The Rosh, not the Shorosh, the Rosh. So I would have perhaps thought that you're not makta the Rosh on the Mizbech. So that's what has to repeat again. No. You have to be makta the Rosh and the Poder also. Not just that you have to be makta by the Oilo or the Nesachem, Anita Chasel and Sachera. You have to be makter the Rosh and the Poder as well. And not only makter, it's kaidim. The Rosh and the Poder are kaidim and l'chol ha-nesochim. You have to be makter them first, and then afterwards you makter the other nesochim. Then the Gemara has a whole machlokes ha-tanoim, whether yesh chita lof menater, ein chita lof menater. How do we pasken? Is it menater mid-rabbanan? So the Rosh in the end of Yuma has a surprising machlokes of Rishonim. Called some Rishonim hold ein shechita loif ben atoira. If you hold ein shechita loif ben atoira, so Tosfos says on Daf Chav, how can that be? I mean, there's no din of nevela by oifas. You don't need shechita, but there is an institution of nivla seif tohar b'tamei abeis ablia. What does that mean? Nivla seif tohar. All nevelas on the tamei. And the Vela, a mace Adam, we call it Adam, today we call him a mace. A mace in Metame, b'maga, b'masa, oba, oba. The maga means to touch the mace with your bare hands. Let's say the mace has clothing on, and you touch the mace where the clothing is, that's not called maga. If you push the mace, that's masa. So a mace is Metame, b'maga, b'masa. Then, b'ohel, there are three kinds of ohel. Ohel means either you lean, let's say you're outside, you lean on top of the mace. You're mahil on top of the mace, or you're sitting minding your own business outside, somebody carries the mace right above you. The mace is mahil on top of you. Or we have oil hamshacha. I'm over here, the mace is over there, and there's one roof that goes on top of the mace, and it continues to go on top of me. That's oil hamshacha. Some, we mentioned, the son-in-law of the Nesibis was achsidisha. So when the chidush harim passed away, he delivered a hesped. And he felt that his hesped was so good, he printed a whole sefer. But the hesped was not big enough to write a whole, to print a whole sefer. So he had pages left at the end. So that was the practice in Europe. When you put out a sefer, and you had a blank page, so they would write some divrei Torah, not to waste a blank page. So they would add some divrei Torah. There. So here he's missing a lot of pages. The hesped for the chidush harim is not so big. They have it in the library. So they have at the end of the sefer, he has chidushim on Hilchas Avelus. So he quotes there, in the chidushim on Hilchas Avelus, you have tumas kohanim. The dinim, a kohen is not allowed to be metame l'meis. So he claims that he heard from his father-in-law. The Nesibis. The Nesibis was a misnagid. Rabbi Kevega was also a misnagid. Rabbi Kevega was also blessed with a son-in-law who is a chsidisha. And the Nesibis were blessed by the son of the Hosek Sidisha. And they didn't, there wasn't the best of relations between them. Okay. Then Rabbi Kevega had a grandson. Hosek Sidisha Rebbe, Rabbi Leibel Eger. That was really something. So Rabbi Leibel Eger used to correspond with his uncle, Rabbi Kevega's son in law. His name is Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum. He used to correspond with his uncle. Can you tell me something about the grandfather? So apparently he didn't know the grandfather. He was a, I don't know, maybe he was a baby when he died. Maybe he never met him. So he wrote him a lot of letters. How come we still have the letters? The letters should have been thrown out a long time ago. So there's something in Rabbi Yudah Chassid, in the Sefer Chassidim. You should never throw out the letters that you get in the mail. So the Rabbi Kevega's family and the Chassam Sefer married Rebbe Kivega's daughter. Sofer had three wives, one after the other after the other, and he had children from all of them. And Rebbe Kivega's daughter was one of the daughters of Rebbe Kivega, was his second wife. So they both had this practice, Rebbe Kivega's family and Chassam Sofer's family. They saved all the letters for him. They used to have an attic full of letters. The fire department came and they condemned the building. It's a fire hazard. So they said, you have to burn all the letters. We can't let you have, like some people have, they save newspapers, Mishugoyim. They have a apartment full of old newspapers. It's a fire hazard. So if the fire department will check the house, they'll demand of them that they should get rid of all those ancient newspapers. Some people have such a Mishugas. They save everything in the house. So when the fire department said they should destroy everything, so they read through the letters, and any letter that had some Divrei Torah, they saved. And the letters that just had Dvarim B'Tehillim, those are the ones that they destroyed. There shouldn't be a fire hazard. So years later, they found these letters from the Schreiber family, from the Chassam Sofer's family, Rebbe Kivega's family. So they printed them. It's called Igra Sofer, the letters from the Schreiber family. So they have in the letters between Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum, who was the son-in-law of Rebbe Kivega, and his grandson, Rabbi Leibel Eger, who was a Chassidish Rebbe, a real Chassidish Rebbe, with the real works. So he describes different things from Rabbi Kivega. So one of the things is Rabbi Kivega's practice was when you have a bris, you say Bar Piagofen. After the bris is over, you say Bar Piagofen. Then you say Hashikirish they did bit better, Chok B'Sher Asom, etc. Then you end off Koras Abris. So Rabbi Kivega's practice was that he would drink the wine right after Koras Abris. He wouldn't wait till after the Mishaberach that you say for the Bikorish Mobi Yisrael. That should be a hefsik. Even though the minig for many years was and is, most play the minig is, that you say that Misha Berach and you give the Kriyas Hashem. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes, he doesn't have that practice. He didn't have that practice. He followed Rabbi Kivega, that he would drink a sip of the wine right after the Bracha Koras HaBris, not to be mafsik in between the Bar Piagofen and the drinking of the wine. So Rav Moshe says, either minig is not so, so he says, yeah, that doesn't count as a minig. A minig keeps on switching back and forth. Every 50 years it changes back and forth. It's not a minig. And we should do like Rabbi Kivega did. How does he know what Rabbi Kivega did? Because that's one of the letters that Rabbi Kivega's son-in-law, Rabbi Shmuel Birnbaum, wrote to the grandson, Rabbi Leibel Eger. That was Rabbi Kivega's practice. So, getting back again, how do we get lost over here? The three tumas. A mace is matame b'maga, b'masa, u'be'ol. If it's a human mace, nevela is only matame b'maga, u'be'masa. Maga is, let's say, you go to the A&P and you touch a piece of meat. The piece of meat is wrapped, so it's a nevela. It didn't have shechita, but it's wrapped, so there's no maga. But if you pick up the piece of meat, the nevela meat, then it's matame b'masa, even though there's no maga. So that's Nivlas Behem is Matami Bemagam Masa. Nivlas Adam is Matami Bemagam Masa Uba Ohel. There's a place in Satana where they may say Akama Matami Ba Ohel. But may say Yisrael for sure Matami Bemagam Masa Ba Ohel. So Oel Am Shocha. If I'm under the same roof as the mace, Adam, so that's Matami Ba Ohel. So the son in law of the Nesivas writes at the end, he wrote up the Hesped that he said when the Ger Rebbe died, Chedusha Rim was the Ger Rebbe. So he delivered a Hesped that at the end he has Haoris on Hilchas Avelis, he has Haorachs on Tumas Kohanim as well. So he says that he heard from his father-in-law. The question is, maybe he had wax in his ears. Maybe he heard wrong. Heard from his father-in-law that Oil Hamshach is only by the Rabbanon. Most told that that's dead wrong. Oil Hamshach is only the Rabbanon. There's a Shach. Says that something is the Rabbanon. So some have the girsa. The Shach has letters, Sitkot Yudzayin, Sitkot Tezayin. So sometimes the letter is printed in the Yeridah in the wrong place. So there was such editions of the Yeridah that had the letter where the Shach writes that something is the Rabbanon. Some of them had it on Olam Shocha. So many poskim say that that's a mistake, it's not correct. So he says in the name of his father-in-law, Oil Hamshach is only the Rabbanon. Mahil, if I'm leaning over the mace, that's oil deraisa. If they carry the mace on top of my head, that's all deraisa. Oil Hamshach is only the Rabbanon. So he says, when it says in Shulchan Aruch there's a machlekes hatanoim, and a machlekes of Rishonim had a paskin where they may say akamam and tami ba'ohel, and both the mechaber and the Ramah write that it's nochan lochush la'achmir, Kohanim should not come in contact with ohel by may say akum. So he claims that his father-in-law said that only applies to real ohel. If you're mahel on the may say akum, or they carry the may say akum on top of your head, but olam shacha, you don't have to be machmir. So that's Ramosha said that was the meaning where he came from in Europe. That the Mesei Akam, you would only be careful not to be mile on the Mace, but to be on the oil am shocha is okay. But the reasoning that the son-in-law of the Nesivas gave, the Pashta says that it's not correct. He said other things in the name of his father-in-law also. The Abnei Nezer was a Sochet Shavir Rebbe at the same time that the son-in-law of the Nesivas was the rabbi of Sochet Shavir. So he, in his Chuvas, in Chuvas Avnei Nezer, he quotes that this son-in-law of the Nesivas, Maharoch, I forgot, it was a Kohen, himself was a Kohen. I forgot his first name, Aaron or something. So he claims in the name of the Nesivas, his father-in-law, that I'll call Minchos Chatakri Melach, I'll call Kaban Chatakri Melach, whenever you bring a Mincha, whenever you bring a Korban, you're supposed to put salt on top of the carbon when you do the haktorah. So you don't have to use that because salt, you can use sugar also. Because salt and sugar are the same thing, just has a little different flavor. Anybody know chemistry? It's the same thing, basically. Two different things. So the Avnei thinks that that's dead wrong. They're absolutely wrong. Salt and sugar. There's a discussion in Poskim when you have to salt meat in order to remove the blood. So can you salt meat? If you salt the meat with sugar, will it help? Okay, maybe it helps. It's not halacha l'moshe Messina that you have to use salt. You have to use something which will draw out the blood. And maybe sugar draws out the blood also. That's a big discussion that Pischei Tshuva on the page in Yerideya has that discussion. But to say that the mitzvah deraisa, akol minchos chatakim melech, akol kabon chatakim melech, it's a mitzvah by using sugar, because sugar and salt are the same thing, just a little difference of flavor. So he says that for sure is dead wrong. But this one also, that he said in the name of the Nesivis, his father-in-law, that oil amshach is only the Rabbanon. So most disagree. They say that's a mistake, major mistake. And they say that, and he quotes, since only the Rabbanon, the Chumra not to mimetamet the Mesei Akum wouldn't apply. So many disagree with that. Yeah. So getting back again. So Tosfos on Daf Chof and Aleph, the bottom Tosfos has this murderous kasha. How can there be an opinion in Tanoim? Gemara has a whole Omid Gemara. Where are we? Chav Zainam and Beis and Chav Chesam and Aleph, it continues another 10 lines where the Shechita Loif is Ben Atur and the Rabbanon. How can it be Shechita Loif is only with the Rabbanon? So there's never such a thing as Nivlo Sof Tor Mitame Abeis Abliya. What does that mean? Nivlo Sof Tor Mitame. If a bird dies, a kosher bird dies, and you touch it, it's not Mitame B'maga. It's not mitame b'masa if you pick it up, only mitame if you swallow it. Mitame abeis ablia. By nivlas behema, there is no such thing. Nivlas behema is only mitame b'mago u'b'masa. If you touch it, if it's not wrapped up, or if you pick it up, it's masa. But if you don't pick it up, someone puts it in my mouth. So maga beis astorm is not mitame. The fact that it's touching my mouth inside is maga beis astorm. And if I swallow it, it's not mitame. That's a balua. It's not mitame. But Nibla Seif Tohar is only Mitame. Nibla Seif Tomei is not Mitame at all. A dead eagle. An eagle is a non-kosher bird. The Nibla Seif Tomei does not have any Tumah at all. Nibla Seif Tohar has Tumah, but not the same. The Gemara draws a distinction. Behema and Oif are not the same. Behema, the Nibla's Behema is Mitame, B'maga, B'masa, and not Mitame Abdes Abliya. Nibla Seif Tohar is only Mitame Abdes Abliya, not Mitame B'maga, B'masa. So what kind of a din? What kind of an animal is this? What kind of a din is this? Nivla Sof Tohar is only Mitame Abeis Abliya. So this is a famous, Rab Chaim has in a sefer on this, and Rabbi Yosef Engel has in his sefer. They say exactly the same thing. But Rabbi Yosef Engel is more than Rab Chaim. Rab Chaim has one piece, Yosef Engel has much more. So Rabbi Yosef Engel has the three ways to understand it. And he shows the Rabbi Shainim, who hold each one the way. So some Rishonim say it's Mitame B'maga, but it's not Mitame if I touch the Nivla Sof Tohar. I touch it like this, not Mitame B'maga, only Maga Beis Hastor. Only when I swallow it. If I hold it in my mouth, it's not Mitame. When I swallow it, that's Mamish Beis Hastorim. or balua, maybe it's worse, even balua, it's only metame when it's in the beis abliya. Another opinion, the Rishonim, how can it be maga? It's beis astorim. It must be that it's masa. It's metame b'masa beis. If I pick up the nebulas of Torah, it's not metame b'masa, like only metame b'masa in the mouth, only when it's in my mouth, not metame b'masa, only when I swallow it. Only metame b'masa over there when I swallow. And the third opinion in the Rishonim is that achila is metame. It's metame that if you do achila on the nebulas of Torah, is metame. So what's the difference whether A, B, or C? So one difference will be, Rav Chaim talks about this also, what if you eat a chatzi kezayis and a chatzi kezayis b'zach hazeh toch kedei achilas pras? So if you're eating achila, let's say, you're eating chazer, and in order to get malchus, you have to eat a kezayis toch kedei achilas pras. You're eating matzah, in order to fulfill the mitzvah, eating korban pesach, you have to eat a kezayis toch kedei achilas pras. So if the metame by nivlos of toher is achila, so if you have a chatzirais, not a chatzirais later, toch kedei achilas pras, then it's metame b'achila. But if the metame is maga ma'asa, you have to have the full kazayis b'vasachas. That's one afkamina. That's Rav Chaim talks about that. That's all Rav Chaim talks about. In the Sefer, is it mitzarf toch kedei achilas pras? He makes a machlokes hatanoim about it, and the Rambam paskens that it is mitzarf. And then what's the difference whether it's maga beis astar ma'asa? Difference is, what if the nivla sef toher is wrapped up, korcha besiv, it's wrapped up in something that's not royal achila. So if it's a tumas maga, so if it's not touching the inside of the beis abliya, so there's no maga, it's not touching. But if it's tumas maso, so maso is, even if there's a chatzita, it's still tumas maso. So that's Rabbi Yosef Engel points out. There are three distinct shitas in the Rishonim. Some say that it's maga beis astarim, some say that it's maso beis astarim, and some say that it's achila. So getting back again, so Tosis on Chofim and Aleph, the bottom Tosis is bothered with Akasha. How can there be an opinion that Nivla, that Ein Shechita Loif Men HaTorah means an oif that dies a natural death is not called an Avela? So how is there an institution on Nivla Sof Tohar? The Tamei Beis HaBel is Zomach like a Satanaim over that. Mishnais Yud Gimel Dinim Nemer of Nivla Sof Tohar. Mishnais and Taras. There are 13 special dinim in Nivla Sof Torah. There can't be such an institution on Nivla Sof Torah. Ein Shechita Lof Men HaTorah. So Taisa says, no. A noif that's mesa me'leho, a noif that dies a natural death, for sure it's an avela. Everybody agrees you have to have mechira simonim in Atzava. They just argue in the Midbar. Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion, we learned in the end of the first parak. Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that the requirement for Shechita only began after they crossed over the yard. In the Midbar, they could do Nechira on Behemoth. They could do Nechira. Nechira Sezoi Shechitasoi. It would be kosher. So that's the Machloikas Zahir. I'm Chav Zainam and Beis Chav Chesam and Allah. What about Oif? Maybe Ein Shechita Lof. You don't need all the Chomish Hilcha Shechita, but you need Nechira Sezoi Shechitasoi. That's two lines from the bottom of Chav Zainam and Beis. If you all Ein Shechita Lof, Ein Shechita Lof, and Atar Nechira Sezoi Shechitasoi. Not Mesa Me'ela is going to be good. In the Chira Simonim, you can use a saw and cut off the head, cut off the neck of the chicken or the duck, and it'll be kosher, even though the saw is full of pigimus. If you all ain't Shechita Lof Me'atara, it doesn't bother me. All the Chomish of Cheshechita don't bother me. As long as it did, the Chira Simonim and Atzara. So that's the Machloikas HaTanoim. And the Rosh at the end of Yuma quotes the Machloikas of Rishonim, out of Paskin. Some Rishonim Paskin. La'aloche. That ein shechita lof menatara. That menatara is enough. Nechiras is zui shechitosa. What's the difference? Halacha l'maisa bizman hazeh. Bottom line is man hazeh. You need all the chomish shel cheshechita. So what's the difference? What is the raisa? The rabbana. If you have a sofik in shechita, maybe okay. So the gemara has a different afkamina. What's an afkamina in the gemara? Kisui hadam. And then is when Yishef Pasuk says when Yishef chayo or oaf. You need kisei adam. When you shecht behemi, you don't need kisei adam. When you shecht chaya or oak, when you shecht turkeys, or you shecht geese or hens, when you shecht chickens, there's a mitzvah kisei adam. The shechet shechts for an hour, they take turns. Shechet shechts from 10 to 11, next shechet takes over, you go out of your mind, shechting all day long. So they switch every hour, they switch. So the shechet shechts, they shecht very quickly. They have a conveyor belt, and they have all the chickens that are tied down with their feet, and the goy holds the wings, so the bird won't flap. And then the Jewish shechet takes a knife, and he cuts, he slits half a second. He shechts 100 chickens in 1 minute. They shecht very quickly. So the shaila is, if you did the shechita bepsul, let's say you did drasa, you didn't fiddle back and forth, or you shecht by the sack and peguma. So if on the level of the rice ain't shechita loy panatar and the chiras is zui shechita soy, so you did a perfect shechita, so then you have to do kisay adam. Even though in the Rabbana they said you're not allowed to eat it because you need all the chomish al cheshchita, but that's only you're not allowed to eat it. But they weren't mafkir the mitzvah of kisi adam. You should still do the kisi adam. I would have said, they didn't ask my opinion, I would have said that once in the Rabbana they declared that you're not allowed to eat it, so mistam yeshkach ve'achacham lakadav menatar b'shei be'altase, have a right to be oiker the ki of my mitzvah. So I would have said they would recommend you should dafka not do kisi adam. You're going to do kisi adam, you may think mistakenly that it's mutar b'achila. But the Gemara doesn't think like me, and they didn't ask my opinion. The Gemara says, if you hold ain't shechita lef min ha-Torah, and you only need all the chomish shel cheshchita mid the Rabbanon, so if you did the chiras ezuvi shechitos on a bird, you would still be mechuyev bezman hazeh to do kisi adam. So it's a machlekes in Rishonim, a machlekes ha-Tanoim, where the shechita lef min ha-Torah mid the Rabbanon. If mesem eleh for sure is awesome, that all the Tanaim do. Otherwise, there's no institution in Nivlos Eftar, the Tamei Beis Avliya. You need for sure a Shechita, but the question is whether in the Chiras is a Shechita or in the Torah, or in the Torah you need all the Chamish of Shechita. So really, if you did a Shechita Psula on the Yoif, but you didn't in the Chiras Simanim and Atzabar, so then it'll be a Machlaikas whether you should do Kisi Adam. So should you really do Kisi Adam B'li Bracha? Because it's a machlokes whether we pass and shechita lof min ha-Torah mid the Rabbanon. If he shecht the treifa, he did a perfect job of the shechita, so the more some shechita treifa is mitar mid dei nevela. If he shecht in the snabla biyadoi, then a nevela has tumas nevelas. But if he shecht in an animal properly, and it turns out to be a treifa, then a shechita's treifa is mitar hamidei nevela. The Gemara quoted that din, and what if you do when you do malika, you do mimular point, you do malika shechting first from the back, you do the malika with the fingernail, the mechuba, the tziporin is called mechuba to the gufa adam. When you do shechita and chulin, you have to shech the bird from the front. If you're going to shech with your fingernail from the back, you're going to first cut the mefrekes. So your first nishbara hamefrekes is a treifa. So then if you continue, nishbara hamefrekes is a treifa. If you shech with your fingernail, so the Mishnah says it's an avela, because mechuber, so it'll be metame. What if you did... Malika from the back with a knife. So it's no good, but there is Malika. It's a good Shechita. So Shechita Soif is Mentar B'dein Avela. Aye, but if you shecht it with a knife from the back, then the animal will be, the bird will be a Trefa, because it was Nishbura Mefrakta before you got to Ket, before you got to cut the Kona or the Veshet. So Nishbura Mefrakta will be a Trefa. You won't be allowed to eat it, but it'll be mitar midei nevela. That's what the Gemara says. It'll be mitar midei nevela. When the Mishnah says you have to shecht simen echad ba'oif, what do you mean simen echad? Either the kana or the veshet? Or should I say no? It has to be dafka the veshet, because the veshet is more important than keeping the animal alive. So that was a machlokes on chof chesam and aleph. Echad ba'oif itram nachamanam o veshet dokana avara baraba amar veshet v'loikana. Each one argues it out. Then the Gemara says he's wrong. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that Rav Nachman is right, Okon Oveshet, because the Gemara quotes the Farish of Raisa. There's a difference between Malika by Chatasoif and Oilosoif. By Chatasoif it says you should do Malika below Yavdil. You shouldn't cut both the Kona and the Veshet. But by Oilosoif it says Vihivdil. You have to cut with the fingernail. Malika has to be Bitzipur and Ha'etzpah while it's Mechuber. If you do malika on a behemas on an oib shal chulin, it's going to be nevela because you're doing shechita ben mechuba. If you do malika on ola soif chatz soif, that's kimitzvah, so it won't be a nevela. So it says Beferish in the Brisa, when you do the Malika on the Chata Sa'if, you can either do Malika on the Kona or on the Vesh. So it's Beferish. It's optional. The Malika, the difference is when you're Shechting Chulon, you have to Shecht with a sack, and that's Tolosh. When you do Malika by Kochim, Olosav Chatzav, you have to use Malika be Tzipor and Ho'etzba, has to be Davka Mechuber. That's the Malika, says Uish Chitosa. So this is when you do the Malika on the Chata Sa'if, it's optional, either the Kona or the Veshim. So that indicates that by Chulin also, when you use a knife, you can either use the Chatos, you can either use the either Shech, the Kona, or the Veshim. Right. So the Gemara says three lines from the bottom. Tiyufta, the Rabada Barabba, Tiyufta. He's up gefrekt. Rabada Barabba disagreed with Rab Nachman. Rab Nachman says when it says in the Shechita, when it says in the Mishnah that you do Shechita on a knife, you get Shech, the Kona, or the Veshim. And Rav Arba Rabba said, you have to shech both. So the Gemara says, a tiyufta against Rav Arba Rabba, because it says, Beferish in the Braisa, Malikas, Chatosayv can either be the Kona or the Vesh. Then the Gemara says, my havi aloh. So what's the din? So well, what do you mean, my havi aloh? You just proved conclusively that by Malika, it's either the Kona or the Vesh. So by Shechita Avayfas and Chulin, it's either the Kona or the Vesh. What's the question, my havi aloh? And the Gemara says, no. Dil Mashani Hasam, Dikas Shedra Mefrekas. Maybe by Malika, since you're shechting from the, with the fingernail, you're shechting backwards, shechting from the back, and you first shecht the mifrekes, so maybe there, all you have to do is shecht the kona. But if you're shechting chulam from the front, maybe the kona is not enough to kill a bird, and then you have to dafke kill, shecht the veshet. So the Gemara says, no, toshma, the din is like Rav Nachman, that's all. When you shecht the oif, you can either shecht the kona or the veshet. Not only by Malika, by Kochim, even by Shechita, by Chulin as well. It's either the Kona or the Vesh. Then the Gemara explains the Reb Yudah's opinion that you need Hashish Chatas Havreden. It's not a din in Hilcha Shechita, it's a din in Dam. It's a din in Dam that if you're not going to puncture the Vreden, then you're going to have an issue with the dam. Unless you cut the whole, but usually you'll broil, it's often a practice, people will broil a whole chicken all together, they won't cut it up in little pieces, and they'll broil it. So then, if you didn't puncture the braid, then you're going to have a problem. If you're going to take the chicken and cut it up in tiny pieces and salt each piece, then there won't be a problem. But if you're going to be tzarei kulukayachot, then it's going to be an issue. Maybe the tzliya will not remove enough dam. Whenever you do tzliya, whenever you do malicha, to remove the dam, it doesn't remove all of the dam. It takes out a certain amount of dam. Let's say you have a gigantic piece of meat that's 2 feet by 2 feet by 2 feet, a cube of meat, gigantic piece of meat. And strictly speaking, if you put salt on all the six sides and you let it sit for sheer mil, let it sit for 22 and a half minutes, meaning it's let it sit for an hour. So if you let it sit for an hour, it's not going to succeed in taking out all the dam. In the middle, it's going to be full of dam. But that's the din. If you did malicha sufficiently, all the rest of the dam that remains is considered mohel habosa. Same thing we had a thesis in the first paragraph. The Mishnah says alshecha b'shab shchitos ekshera. The Gemara talks about the possibility of eating the piece of meat. So the Tosafot says, how can you eat the piece of meat? It's full of dam. You're not allowed to salt it on Shabbos. This it says, you see from the Mishnah, you see from all discussion in the Gemara, the dam yivarim shalot pirish is muta b'achil. If you have a raw piece of meat and it's full of blood, the capillaries are full of blood, that's not a problem. That's considered moil habosa. If you're gonna cook the piece of meat and the blood will go out from the capillaries into the water, then go back. You're cooking it in a pot with water. So the blood will go from the capillaries into the water, then go back to be reabsorbed into the chatich habosa. That's called dam yivarim shalot pirish. Then it'll be an issa. In that case, it won't be an issa deraisa. It won't be an issa derabban because we pass like the Gemara in Menachos. The dam shebishloi is only the rabban. The Ramah passes dam shebishloi is only the rabban. Why? Because it says vanin and satu lechem ala mizbech lechaper. You're not allowed to eat chelav adam because chelav adam is lagavoya. When you bring karbon, it's lagavoya. So not only are you not allowed to eat chelav adam of karbon, it's not allowed to eat chelav adam of chulin either. But dam is only kosher lizrik ala mizbech. If it's dam that's fresh, dam shebishlo is possible to be zarek on the mizbech. The Gemara says that since The whole Isser of eating dam is because Anina Sato Lechem Anan is Bech Lechaper Ki Adam Wa Nefesh. So dam Shebishloi is Pasal Lizra Galgabi Ham is Bech by Kabon. So dam Shebishloi will only be an Isser de Rabban. That's how we pass. The Shita Samachaber for the Svardim. For the Mechaber, it's a bit of a machlekes whether the Mechaber holds the dam Shebishlo is the Raisa de Rabbanan. But for the Ramot Paskins, for the Ashkenazim, for sure, Dam Shebishloi is the Ramot. I think most of the Sfarim also assume, the Rabbi Yosef Karo also agrees, that Dam Shebishloi is only Midirabon. But in the Gemara, in Menachos, it's a Machloek in Satanoi, where the Dam Shebishloi is the Raisa de Rabbanan, and the Psak HaMekubal by the Sfarim is also, the Dam Shebishloi is only the Rabbanan. But why is that the Rabbanan? So Rav Soloveitchik thought, the Chiddush Yerim has a different heads, but he says, Isa Shenishtana. Is mutam and atoy. Take dam and you cook it, it's nishtana. Why should it be nishtana? You take a piece of ham and you cook it, it's called an isa shenishtana. When do you have an isa shenishtana? There's a discussion in the Gemara in Brachas. You say bichus areyach. So sometimes you say bari atse b'samim. Sometimes you say bari isbe b'samim. Sometimes you say bari minim b'samim. So the Gemara says, what's the din on musk? What bracha do you say on musk? Musk is to bring from India. So what bracha do you say? You might say, bari minim b'samim. It doesn't grow from the ground. Sure. So the Rishonim have a discussion. Is it muta b'achila, this musk? Then Bab Samach Kuf. I think in English they also call it musk. I think it's the same name. It has a fragrant smell to it. So is it muta b'achila? Why? What's the issue? So they say that it comes from a non-kosher animal, that the blood... When the blood is circulating in the animal, so part of the blood gets caught in a gland in the animal, and it converts. Somehow the gland converts the blood into this musk. So the Rabbeinu Yonah writes on the Rif over there that the musk is muta b'achila because it's nishtan. It started off as blood, and then it underwent a major change, and it's muta. It brings a raya that if you have a piece of meat that's sitting in a jar of honey, if it sits long enough, the meat will convert to become honey. And everybody knows that it's muta b'achila. If the meat sits long enough in a jar of honey, everybody knows that it's muta b'achila. So the same over here, it's an isa shenishtana. So the Rosh quotes the Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rosh there, a musk, and the Gemara Brachos quotes Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, who says that by the honey it's muta? How does he know that? That if you have a piece of meat sitting in the honey, that it's muta b'achila. So the Rabbeinu Yonah apparently read the Gemara in Avodah Zarah like that. There's a mission of Avodah Zarah that says, you can buy honey from the goyim and there's no chashash, not going to be treif. Gemara says, why not treif? Maybe they put in chazash malts into the honey. Gemara says, no. So Rashi says, you don't have to be worried that they're going to put chazash malts in the honey. It'll smell up the whole honey. The thing will get ruined. So they're not going to be stupid. They're not going to ruin the honey. People are going to taste that it doesn't taste like honey. It tastes like chazash malts. They're going to stop. They'll put them out of business. So on that Gemara, the Goyim do not, the Ran, on that Gemara, do not learn like Rashi. The Goy is not an idiot, he's not going to ruin his honey business. The Goyim learn, if you put Chazer Shmatz in the honey, and it tastes like honey, it becomes kosher. So that's obviously the Rabbeinu Yonah took that as a mashal. He must have learned the Gemara like that. Isish and Ishtana is mutter if it underwent a major shinah. So that's a machlek, is the Rosh and the Rabbeinu Yonah. How do we paskan halacha ma'ase? Is it shenishtane, whether it's mutar or rasa? So the Mishnah Brura in the Simen about Bichas Hareach, in the second Chelech Mishnah Brura gives a psak from the Prima Godim that if it's an Issa shenishtane, if it's only an issue der Rabbanan, then we're Nekon. If it's an issue der Issa, then we're Machmer. So what is that? It's a Sveika Dedina. Sveika Dedina, so Sofik Daraisa, Luchom is Sofik Darabon Lakula. It wouldn't appear so. The Mishnah Brura quotes the Prima Godim is Mekel, even if it's a Sofik Daraisa, but it's only Mamed. Mamed is only the Rabbon. So it doesn't seem to be a Sveika Dedina. It sounds like Ikar Adeni Pasan Lakhtar Adeni Yoina. Prima Godim Pasan Lakhtar Adeni Yoina is a Shenishtana is Mutter. And if it's an Issa deraisa, then we should be machmer a little bit. But it's not that it's a sveik at a dina. Mikra din, we really hold like this, Rabbeinu Yonah. Issa shenishtana is muta, but it has to be that it underwent a major shinuim. So that's sometimes you have isurim that undergo major shinuim. Take, for example, sometimes there's kitnias on Pesach. So kitnias, Ashkenazim have a minig, we don't eat kitnias. Sfarim don't have the minig. some Svarim have any, they won't eat rice. But other kidneys, they're not machna. And many Svarim are mekel even on rice. So kidneys is only a minig. So the so some poskim say, kidneys shenishtanu, if it underwent a major change, a lot of times we have ingredients like that for Pesach Dikar products, they have kidneys shenishtanu. So that will make a lechatchila on that. Because mikra din and nisa shenishtanu, we really poskim mutter. It's only a chumra by Yisurim that rice, when machma to be choshish for the rosh. But if it's only kidneys, you're talking about a minig. This is shenishtanu by kidneys, there's room to be made. So that's getting back again. So if you have a piece of meat, a raw piece of meat, and it's full of blood inside, so you have to rinse off the blood on the surface, that's dami varmsha pirish, the blood on the surface is pirish. But the fact that it has blood in it, if you have blood in a vein or an artery, that's not called dami varmsha lo pirish. If it's in a vein, big vein, a big artery, so that's dam. If it's in the capillaries, that's called dami varm. Shalop pirish is mutter. Then this radiation has a truly says, what if you have liver, raw liver? So Tosis has a lashon later, and Perigit on Asha, that COVID is kula dam. Maybe there's more room to be machme there. Even though dam mevorim shalop pirish is mutter, maybe dam ha COVID is more room to be machme. So he says, no, we pass on halacha that the raw liver you may eat, gesundheit, it's also dam mevorim shalop pirish. So the dam evarim shalot pirish is mutter because we declare it as moel habosa, and dam shadishlo is mutter because we declare it moel habosa. The chedusha rim and his chuvis he wants to say dam shadishlo is mutter menator because it's isen shenishtane. That's questionable. So Rav Soloveitchik didn't learn like that. He thought that dam shadishlo is mutter menator because I call it moel habosa. If you have a big piece of meat, some people are not allowed to have salt. It's dangerous for them to have salt. So how do they eat meat? All the meat is salted. So they have a big, gigantic piece of meat. They salt it around all the six sides, top and the bottom, and the four sides around. And then they cut out the middle part that's full of blood, and the dam has absolutely no effect at all in the middle piece. So that's, strictly speaking, that's mutta. That's called, you salted it, and you did what you have to do. It's full of blood. Not a problem. The dam that remains after salting is called moel habasa. It's the juice of the meat. So it's mutam. Then the Gemara starts the sugya about matzah. Okay, we'll save something for tomorrow. Both got to run the minchah.